for How Much You Bench with your host, Frankie Genovese.
Hello, and welcome to How Much You Bench, the show dedicated to bodybuilding and a steroid-free powerlifting experience. I think you know our panelists, especially if you were a Perth Amboy local. In which case, you would also know that we enjoy a lifting experience that's completely free of steroid influence.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
love it.
Before we go to the phones, let's start off with a regular segment on How Much You Bench called Movie Talk. This is where we have a steroid-free discussion of the movies. Tonight's topic, Hollywood's hot new actors and how much we want to kick their heads in. First up, Brad Pitt. He's becoming a big star. Do we like it?
My girl thinks he's really cute, and she says he was really good in Thelma and Louise. So to be quite honest, I'd like to give him a savage beating. The kind of beating where the cops would say, what kind of animal would do this to another human being?
Yeah! Brad Pitt needs a beating. He needs a beating fast. I swear to God, I'm not in the mood for him, ever.
That what you've just seen was a display of normal male envy and aggression, and in no way was the consequence of steroid abuse. Stay off the juice.
Yeah.
The side effects are worth
it. That's right.
All right, before we take calls, I think someone here has an announcement to make.
Indeed, I do. Just this last Friday at 2:23 p.m., I was benching, and I put up 350 pounds.
Totally without the aid of steroids or steroid byproducts. You must be Ant-Man 350. Let's see that rip.
Yeah.
Put your baby oil on, do a little toot,
woo!
Get ready for the show, it's baby oil and blow, yeah.
That was the best one yet.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's feeling just something easy listening,
off
you know?
The cuff. Your cuff's on fire.
You had a lot of people coming off the Royal Rumble last night.
You know, our time.
That's like
got a kayfabe. This is coming out live to people.
Well, yeah.
It was a good, like, 4 or 5
right.
days ago.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're still in that Royal Rumble hangover.
Are they? There's That's a hangover?
Now that they're officially on that road to WrestleMania.
Hair of the dog, man.
Yeah,
he's
so
got
I was
a
like,
road to WrestleMania.
I was like, shh. It's Thursday morning. Tomorrow's Friday. Let's just ease into this. It's me. It's me. Big time baby, Matt O. With me as always, one cool cat. I'm talking about Nate Adams, daddy.
Ahoy, ahoy. How you doing out there?
How you doing out there in wrestling land? This is pretty cool.
There's
I could do
thing
it.
I do love. It's the sexy slither of a female snake.
If there's one thing I love, it's the sexy slither of a female wrestler.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of them at that
they
Royal
slither.
Rumble from what
yeah.
I hear.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. 2018.
It's
women can wrestle.
Historic.
It's historic.
Now... it's not just men who
mm-mm.
could pretend like they're fighting in ridiculous outfits.
Nope.
Women are able to do it, too. That's a big victory for you guys. Let's hear it for your gender. Really going... I mean, that pay gap out there is still terrible, but...
it's there.
One thing at a time. One thing at a time. What's most important is, you know, you could be pro wrestlers now if you want to, so...
yeah.
That's 90% of the problems of the world taken care of right there.
Mm-hmm. It's good to have that.
So,
oh, in honor of the women's wrestling, you can be the, I don't know, what do you want to be? Are there any women tag teams?
The Jumping Bomb Angels?
Yeah.
That's us.
You can be the one of them and I'm the other one.
That's very, very, you know, apropos of today's wrestling climate.
Yeah.
We would throw some love to them because we got two Japanese people winning those Royal Rumbles last night.
Uh-huh.
They're not even very good at speaking English, from what I can tell.
No.
You know, maybe old man Vince, his racist heart has begun to melt a little bit, and he's turned over a new leaf. You think? Think it's possible?
Absolutely.
He's embracing multiculturalism. He's going to get away from all those terrible, terrible stereotypes that 90% of this 80s wrestling is built on that we've been watching. Yeah, and he might just finally, for the first time ever, let a foreign person just like be a real human being and not have to be some sort of cartoon version of everything that scares us about them.
I'm sorry, you have something wrong with Tajiri or Hayantai?
No, what I'm saying is this sounds so boring.
Hayantai?
This new direction for wrestling sounds like it's going to be the most boring thing ever. Yeah. That's not what wrestling's about. It's about everybody being crazy, over-the-top cartoon characters. Just, if you're a Mexican guy, I want you shooting pistols and trying to blind me with your, like, fucking, I don't know, chili powder or something that you keep in your bandolero.
Pistolas.
I don't know very many Spanish words. Point is, wrestling's gonna die. You try to just like have everybody be like, oh, everybody's on equal footing, like everybody's a normal person and they're all just happy to be here wrestling. It's gonna die fast, like really fast.
There's one thing
it's
we
been
do
dying
have.
Fast for it's gonna exponentially die faster.
There's one thing we do have, and that's Russians are still evil.
Are they?
Yeah.
What sort of Russians do we
have?
Well,
they got Lana, even though she's clearly Floridian.
Oh, she's like A1, just perfect Florida trash. Like, you could do no better if you're like taking, let me just say, like a 45-year-old dentist and you take like a vacation down to the Florida Keys because you saved up
all your dentist
money
to
do that. And you're just rolling around. You got this pretty bad farmer's like sunburn going on. Probably got like some Tommy Bahama you're wearing. And then you just spot Lana coming down the street. Ooh, man, I want to move to Florida. This is like another world down here.
It's pretty cool.
These hillbillies are sexy.
I want you to know that I'm not damaged goods. I'm not what they call in Florida white trash. I'm a really good person.
She lives in Nashville now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan of their hockey team, so I'm going to assume I hate the entire town. Fuck that town.
It's a bit much.
I've driven through it once. It seemed off-putting to me.
Yeah, we went there on a weekend just to, you know, like, oh, we'll have some drinks. But it happened to be, like, I think St. Patrick's Day weekend. And then the NCAA also had some kind of big thing going on.
Pretty weird. Why weren't you on the South Side eating corned beef?
South Side Tommy told me I couldn't come out that year.
Wow, that's pretty rough. You must have pissed him off. But he's a fair man. If Tommy Shytown has barred you from the South Side Parade, then that's the row you gotta hoe.
You gotta abide by his law.
St. Patty's in Nashville. Do they even dye the river green down there?
Sure.
Oh, well, maybe they're not so bad.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not all bad.
Tom, he runs the South Side. You just know that. Him and
South Side of the country.
No, I can't think of the act.
We're dyeing all the rivers green.
Yeah.
Brian Dennehy?
Oh, I like Dennehy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably got a couple fingers in some South Side pies, if you know what I'm saying.
Sister-in-law met him on a elevator.
Oh, R.I.P. that elevator, huh?
Yeah, he was, whoa.
Big man.
Gassy man.
Big man.
Just a big gassy man.
World Championship Wrestling.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that.
That's what we're doing this week.
That's what brings us here.
Speaking of the South, this is a Southern Fried episode.
Ooh.
Talking about vacationing in Nashville. We're going down south to watch that pro wrestling. NWA, Jim Crockett Promotions, TBS Saturday Night, call it what you will, it's World Championship Wrestling from January 16th, 1988.
A good time to be alive.
We both watched it. We allegedly sat there, and we did it. We kept our peepers open, Clockwork Orange style, and now we're able to talk about it. These are the fruits of our labor. Big news this week. We got some more money coming in.
Yeah?
How
much money's?
Really, just talking to a lot of investors, a lot of people just wanting to, you know,
you're working
get
those
their
phones,
name on
man.
Our product.
Day
you know,
in, day out.
Synergy. So I was.
It's a good thing you still got that landline.
Doing some emailing with a couple of gentlemen, Christopher Martin and Christopher Reed.
Oh, I know both of them.
Otherwise known as Rap Superstars Kid and Play. We brokered a deal.
No. One of them was in Kid and Play, the other one's in Coldplay.
Oh, no. He was in Kid and Play first, and then he left to do Coldplay. It's the same guy.
So the two of them would be Cold and Play?
Gimmick change, man.
Cold and
gimmick
Play?
Gimmick change.
Okay. We'll continue.
This week, we're doing that House Party 2, the Pajama Jammy Jam presents the Rundown.
Wow.
So, yeah. Get out there on all your streaming services. Get on Amazon, maybe. Look for a DVD. Either way, find a way to watch House Party 2, the Pajama Jammy Jam.
We got a Marty Lawrence in that one?
It's, Martin Lawrence is killing it in that movie. Is he in it? He's killing it in that movie.
Just destroying it.
Gina from Martin is in that,
say,
too?
You like, get a Gina from Martin in that
You get both
one.
Of them. If you're a Martin fan, this is the movie for you.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Is Tommy in it?
No.
I like Tommy from Martin.
They couldn't. He was asking for too much.
That's high dollar. That's fair.
He didn't come around to a third House Party movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, this rundown.
Hey, real quick.
Uh-huh.
I used to be able to do that kid and play move where you jump over your own leg.
I think I remember a few weeks ago at the bar you were threatening to do it while intoxicated.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it didn't come to that.
Yeah.
Because that would have ended in a trip to the hospital.
The first time in my life where even drunk, I was like, you know what? This isn't the place.
My mouth is writing checks that my... kid and play.
Well, I didn't say that.
Can't cash.
I didn't say that.
Happening.
That's no, your word's happening. Not mine.
Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin are our first match against George South and Tony Subur.
Tony Subur.
Two high class athletes, but unfortunately they lose. Jimmy and Hayes win with a double spine buster. Second match, the Russian Nightmare.
I'm sorry, you mean the POMF?
Yo, what's that stand for?
I don't know. They never said.
Okay. Good story.
Big payoff.
Nikita Koloff, the Russian Nightmare. He's versus Dick Murdoch for the TV title. That's right. Two main guys fighting for a title on this weekly program.
Yeah, it's weird.
Pretty weird. Time limit draw.
Oh, like a 2.5 minute time limit? Or 5 minute time limit?
I don't know. We were just getting snippets of it. It's hard to tell how long that time limit actually was.
20, friends.
20?
Yeah, okay. It was actually a 20 minute match.
We got all 20 minutes of it?
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it to me. The time flies when you've got two guys people actually care about wrestling.
Well, they had two commercial breaks.
Warlord the Barbarian versus Clement Fields and Keith Steinborn.
Are you talking about
that? What David Crockett calls.
Yeah.
What's he call it?
A six-man tag.
That's right. Big six-man tag.
With all four individuals.
Ooh, Barbarian gets the pin after a sweet little double team move. It's kind of like demolition decapitation, only instead of dropping the elbow, Barbarian drops his headbutt like he always does.
Drops a head.
Drops that headbutt. Ron Simmons, big ex-football player, future guy who says, damn.
You know, he's never been handed anything his whole life.
That's just really deep, interesting, three-dimensional character to hand a wrestler.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see where this is going to take him, this character of man who hasn't had anything handed to him. Big things in his future. I'm seeing him. He's in there against Cody Starr. Simmons wins with a shoulder tackle off the second rope.
Diving shoulder tackle.
High impact move. Rock and Roll Express, Ricky and Robert.
Who?
Our boys, our favorites.
Who?
Top tag team in the world in 1988. They're in there versus Alan Martin and Steve Atkinson. Got a fast-paced squash match that goes and goes and goes until they end it with that double drop kick. Like they always do, that double drop kick. Same shit, different day. Arn and Tully, the Horsemen. In there versus Lee Peek and Ed Franks. Like, guy who does those obnoxious-looking t-shirts with all the glitter on them, Ed Franks.
Yep.
Is that something else?
You're thinking of his daughter, Lisa.
Oh, Lisa. Or that would have been his sister. That is what I'm thinking of.
At the time, his sister.
Oh, that family's probably got some money at this point.
Oh, the Frank family?
Either way, Duder eats a double-A spinebuster and a Tully slingshot suplex. He got murder-lated. Just murder-lated. Mike Rotunda out there with your boy, little Irish midget, hanging out in the Varsity Club.
Kevin
He's
Sully.
In there versus Larry Wayne.
That's a cool name.
Larry Wayne. Remember like that last time we were watching this shit and like every single guy had like an all-time cool ring name?
Yeah.
That's not happening this week.
Cougar getting, like, J?
Yeah. That's the opposite of Alan Martin. Larry Wayne. Rotunda wins after a double underhook suplex.
They all
suplex.
This week they all sound like bit characters in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, that was a good show.
They used a lot of first and last names.
You know, got a big one coming up next. Big,
big match?
Big, not a big, no, certainly not a big match. Another big ring name, another big lame sounding ring name. We got Dick Murdoch in there again wrestling. He's in there versus, get ready for this, Dave Spencer.
How y'all doing? My name's Dave Spencer.
Famous tough guy, Dave Spencer. You all know him.
My name's Dave Spencer. It's a pleasure to be here.
Murdoch wins at the Brainbuster. Oh, I keep scrolling. There keeps being matches. Oh, thank God we've gotten to the last one.
Yeah, it's WCW, pal.
Thank God we've gotten to the last one. My finger's getting tired. Ivan Koloff, that big Russian bear, is in there versus, here we go, another one, Mike Jackson. How long did it take you to think of that one, Mike
Jackson?
My
man, Mike.
That flippy old man with the bald spot who we love.
Yeah.
He's fast becoming one of my favorite weird jobbers.
Oh, you and me too.
Monkey flipping all over the place for no reason.
Oh, you and me too.
Koloff wins with a sickle that Jackson kind of takes real weird, like on his ear,
yes,
and set it to his chest, and then he does a weird sideways, like, flippy thing that's not a full rotation, but either way, he took it real weird.
Other than that top knot.
That guy's always doing weird stuff, but he's got a lot of energy. That takes us out of this rundown. Sponsored by House Party 2, the Pajama Jammy Jam.
Go, man,
right
go,
into our next segment.
Go, man, go.
Big segment. It's the heart of the podcast, a lot of people have been saying. I've been getting a lot of emails calling this Five Count the heart of the podcast.
Wow.
The beating heart of what we do here.
You gotta have heart.
Baby Oil and Blow Studios.
You gotta have
Let's
heart.
Let's get into our five talking points. What's your number one?
Now I'm just thinking about the theme song from the Kid and Play cartoon show.
I have no memory of them having a
go
cartoon
man,
show.
Go,
oh, that's what you were singing
go
that whole time.
Man, go. Yep.
Did they
it's
really get the two
cool
Christophers
song
to voice it, or was it just like probably like the guy who did Garfield and the guy who did Slimer, like together doing impressions of Kid and Play?
Oh, guy that did Slimer is Frank something or other. He's very famous. They're both very famous voice actors.
The guy who did Slimer even talk on that show?
Yeah.
Hi there, this is Sam Beeman, and I wanted to show you how to do the voice of Slimer. Now let's go ahead and start with the voice of Slimer from the 1984 original film, Ghostbusters. If you notice in the film, it seems like there's different levels where his voice changes. So if he's frustrated, like there's one scene where he's in a ballroom, and so he's like, it's like he's panting, you know, he's like, you know, it's really like it sounds like a dog. He's like, and then when he gets a little aggravated, you know, it's almost like a motorcycle, you know, starting up, you know. So if you just imagine that that you're panting like a dog, you know, if you wanted to act like Slimer at your next Ghostbusters party, you know. And if you're flying away, not you, but if you're Slimer, he would fly away to try to escape. So it's a little bit more high-pitched. So it goes, you know, and it's really impressive, which I think is one of the reasons why with the real Ghostbusters cartoon, they made Slimer sound similar to when he's flying away in the film. So you hear, and what they did was they sort of changed that to where he actually talks in the cartoon. So he's like, real Ghostbusters, it's like up here, it's a little high pitched. So if you can take your voice and just take it. Just give it a little tweak, and you're wanting to send this to the top. Just it's like if somebody were force choking you, you know. So make that a little high pitch, and you can be like, "Hi, this is Slimer."
Oh, wrestling.
Where are we at? Like our
number
three?
Five. We're at five already.
Oh, five already.
Yep.
Okay.
Look at that time. Number one. I'm giving it to that 20-minute time limit, Nikita Koloff-Dick Murdoch match.
Okay, the big TV title match.
Yep.
You know, we always got a lot of overlap here in this five count because it's kind of hard finding things to really talk about. And this is definitely something I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I'm in full support of this. There's a lot to unpack here.
It was a good match. It was an entertaining match. Nikita Koloff and Dick Murdoch played their parts beautifully.
Well, what kind of parts do they have to play?
Beautifully. Well, one of them was a good guy. One of them was a bad guy. You see,
pro wrestling here. It's not like we're having a stage show or something. Jesus Christ!
It was crazy. The Russian guy was the good guy.
I still don't like it.
Captain Redneck, Dick Murdoch.
See, how do you want me not to cheer for Captain Redneck, especially when there's a guy from a foreign country in the ring? But I don't know, somehow they make it work.
I'm just a good old-fashioned redneck myself.
He's just enough of a big old smelly bully to make it work. He's going to make me care about this Russian man.
I'll tell you what, I'd rather be a redneck than white trash.
That's damn true, and it's a good point that he makes, because he's definitely a redneck, but out there in the audience, those people are all white trash.
Oh, mercy.
And there's a distinct dividing line.
Oh, Pal, let me tell you.
It's like the guy who, you know, pumping gas at the gas station.
Yep.
He's got a little service station. He tells young kids, like, not to go out to that cabin or they'll get killed. He's a redneck. You know, all the weirdos just hanging around with flies buzzing around their face outside of that service station, they're white trash.
Yeah.
Different from street people. You have to be from urban environments to be street people.
Correct.
If you're street people, like, out there in the country, no, you're white trash, and it doesn't work that way.
If I'm worried that you're going to Hills Have Eyes me, you're white trash.
Hobo code, come on, I'm not trusting that shit.
No way, not even a little. But Dick Murdoch, he's just good old-fashioned redneck. He just works over Nikita's shoulder for
Bunch
a real long time.
Bunch of limb work going on in this, man.
Yeah.
Classic Southern style wrestling limb work.
He's like, hey, this guy's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just take out an arm.
I mean, not as big as he used to be.
Well, he's up with that clearly Nikita. Off the juice.
Get back on those steroids, right. My man.
So he's working over that arm. You say, hey, can't lift me too good if he's got one arm, huh? That's a strategy for you.
Good strategy as far as I'm concerned.
And if that don't work, bite his head.
With your remaining teeth.
Yeah.
With what you have utilized, you might as well. This is like pretty much the most Southern match I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was really Southern.
JR and Bob Caudle, Southern voices on commentary. You got Cornette running his just Southern mouth just outside of the ring here the whole time. Bunch of limb work. You got Dick Murdoch being a fat, sloppy redneck. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the crowd's just, by the time Dusty and, you know, the Midnights are out there at the end and all starts building those near falls, it's
down.
Just like sustained, insane passion from the crowd.
Yeah.
You don't hear this shit for like a 2-second pop on wrestling anymore. This is like 5 minutes of just like sustained people losing their fucking shit.
I've noticed
hysterical screaming. Yeah,
a real thing. Like, you used to get people would like, you know, oh, I'm going to cheer during this match, and then you rest during this match, and they build cards accordingly. Mm-hmm. They buffer it and this and that.
There ain't no rust like, when you got sweet tea running through your veins.
Well, the other thing is, too, now, like, you don't even get that anymore. Now, like, the crowd will, like, sit on their hands for half of a match because they know it's not going to pick up till the last half, and then they'll start to cheer. But like you said, this was something special, man.
These people.
Yeah.
You got veins popping in foreheads, capillaries bursting.
You know.
Pants being shat.
They were
shat pants all throughout that TV
studio. They were
studio.
Pre-gaming out in the parking lot, some white lightning.
Probably just like siphoning gas out of their gas tanks and huffing it, I would assume.
Oh, you know what?
What?
We owe an apology here.
To who? I never apologize.
To white trash.
Oh.
And rednecks alike.
Sorry, white trash and rednecks.
This match was pre-taped.
This was out in the arena, or in an arena.
In Baltimore.
That's
up north, pal.
Up north, but still plenty of trash.
Still home of the wire?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Never mind. You still qualify.
I gotta tell you that Dick Murdoch. For the 20-minute match, he maybe took like 2 or 3 bumps. That guy's got it figured out.
Yeah, pace yourself, bro.
That guy back bumped maybe 3 times in this match. Yeah. And when he did, he sold it like he was being fucking waterboarded.
Longevity.
That's what you got to do. The more you're selling a back bump, the more it's just destroying you from having getting knocked on your back. Yeah. The less of those things you have to take.
Correct.
The easier a night you're going to have.
Don't.
Pretty soon you're back in your hotel room just chugging beers.
Don't pop back up just to eat another one.
Oh, man.
That's dumb.
Bam, bam, bam. Suddenly I'm just like fucking taking handfuls of somas back in my hotel room.
Or look like Dynamite Kid.
Give me a break. Nobody wants to look like Dynamite Kid. He's a foreign fucking hillbilly.
Or Lex Luger now.
They got white trash in a... Well, I know they have white trash in England. I've seen a lot of them. What do they call them? Chavs? He's fucking chav.
Well, that's kind
of
cool.
Know. They've got a lot of words. I don't know what they mean.
Oi. Oi, blay, right, oi.
I like the British.
Okay, let's back it up a
They're
little
funny.
Bit. Let's back it up a little bit, because I just wanted to take a moment. I don't know if I've really laid it all out there yet about one of my favorite jobbers, George South. I just wanted to give him a little bit of props.
Oh, in that He's previous
in that
match?
First
yeah.
match, that tag match with the fake Freebirds. You got Jimmy Garvin out there. They're trying to pretend like he's a Freebird. Whatever. George South, though, you know, like, you got like Rene Goulet and Iron Mike Sharp. They're, my favorite jobbers up north, and they're a class above. You really can't beat them, but I gotta say, like, he's the closest thing you got down here in these southern versions. He's,
Georgie?
Always looks like he just rolled out of a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
He always looks like they had to, like, force feed him a pot of coffee to sober him up before he goes out there.
Come on, pal, pull it together just enough.
And then the whole match, he's just bumping and begging. That's, if you're a bad guy and you're a jobber, bumping and begging, you should have that tattooed to your forehead. That should be a bumper sticker on whatever car you're renting that you just return with a bumper sticker on because you're a fucking hillbilly.
Yeah.
Begging off, taking big bumps. Love him. I just wanted to give him some props. I hope that he gets in this rotation a little bit more going forward because
there was some good stuff.
Most of these jobbers suck, but whenever I see George South popping up on this WCW programming, I know I'm in for a treat.
You get excited?
No, I'm in for a treat.
They were hot for that match, too.
Yeah, there was one little boy who was covering both of his ears with his hands. I'm just sitting on his mom's lap, and I was just like, yeah, those shrieking women doing all those chants again.
Yeah.
Real chant-heavy, this series of tapings we've been watching.
There was so many women.
Constantly, during every match, it never stops. Some just inane chant. Their stupid southern voices are just clawing into your brain. Scratch, 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 and... me and this little blonde boy, neither of us could take it. We had had enough.
Do you like those three heifers with the curly mullets that they showed, like, right away?
I did, were cheering? They seem to be the ringleaders, quite frankly. I've been wondering where all these chants are coming from, and those three seem to be the ringleaders. They seem to be whipping everybody up into this frenzy.
They look like they could generate a lot of sound.
Vince McMahon should be looking them up and paying them to come to his shows.
They showed
some life in those crowds.
They showed some older dude right after that. Well, not older, but, like, I don't know. Probably like around our age, dude.
Aged? Oh, no. Yeah.
Maybe 40.
Yeah, we're virile and young.
Maybe 40. But he's doing that Charles Grodin smile. You know, like the one he does in Clifford all the time.
That I will take to the police, and I will not send you back to your parents. And you tell Sarah that you and I are the best of friends.
And we are, aren't we?
Shut up. But if you even look at me funny, if you do one thing that I find weird... which is, you know, like your middle name. See, you're doing it right now. Can you just act like a human boy for 1 minute here? Look at me like a person. You can't do it for more than a few seconds. Look at me like a human boy. Don't mess around with me. You're going to be back on that plane.
We're like something's just really irritating
acts like
him,
he's
but
okay.
He's trying to be like, I'm okay with this, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't Beethoven, too.
He does it in a lot of his films. There's a lot of that, What About Bob? That's Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, he's a good
guy. Doesn't matter. It's all old white guys being annoyed by things. It was a genre of movie in the 90s.
It was a thing, man. Oh, your boy South. There was a spot where he took a little powder to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then the good guys rough him up. On the outside.
Come on, man's just trying to beg off
Who does that? Who does that?
Let
if you're
him
good
beg
guys,
off a little.
You let him get back in the ring. So he's on the apron, and he's like trying to crawl over that bottom rope. And I want to say...
poor pathetic fool.
Who is it? I don't know. Somebody charges at him, hits him with like a running knee on the ropes, which he completely no-sells.
Bastard Jimmy Garvin.
He just doesn't even acknowledge the knee at all.
Just let him know. Like, I'm begging off right now. You got your
you
shit in.
Me.
You got your lame offense in. Let me get my begging off in a little bit.
Don't knee me while I'm trying to beg
Jesus
off.
Jesus Christ. We're all trying to work an art form here.
So, yeah. I liked that.
Ooh, I loved it.
I liked that a
we
lot.
Got another one? Got more bullet points going through here.
It's like a real bullet club. Do you get that?
It's a
wrestling
big wrestling faction, but there's a lot more members of that club than there are things to talk about in these wrestling shows we're watching. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got the big six-man tag with four men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was confusing to me at first. I don't know why you'd book a six-man tag match with
four participants.
David Crockett. They didn't even let him be on commentary this week, and he still found a way to screw things up.
Yeah.
God bless JR, though. That week without JR.
Oh.
David was back. Was a bad week.
It was so good just to have him there in the studio.
We make
with
fun
us.
Of David now. Just because, you know, his little flub. But honestly, thank you, David Crockett, for not being on commentary. I appreciate it. You did us a solid. You stupid, slow-sounding man.
It means the world to us. I've got this match because it just went on way too long.
What match was this now?
This is the Warlord and Barbarian versus Clement Fields and Keith Steinborn. Third match.
Yeah.
Third match in the show.
From what I can tell, I took like
it was a squash
no
match
notes about that match.
That went way too long.
Well, you needed enough time to put over that big weightlifting competition that they're coming up with at
how much
the,
you bench?
Bunkhouse Stampede.
Hey, how much you bench?
People think the Warlord's definitely over 600 pounds at this point. I remember them talking about that a lot.
They said he's putting up 650 at this point.
So, Okay, then I did the commentary in this match too. Probably because it was going so long. I'm remembering what the commentary was doing now. I'm remembering them talking about the weightlifting constantly. And then I'm remembering just how much they're just putting over what just like an insane, sadistic, wild man the Barbarian is. They're talking about that for like 5 minutes.
Like you can get through to Warlord a little, but
as
not Barbarian.
As the Barbarian just robotically wrestles, just very matter-of-factly, very slowly, with no emotion on his face.
Right, because like, they want him to wrestle a match that's longer than 30 seconds.
And they're just going on and on about how out of control he
is. Can't,
you
can't reason with this man.
Being a bigger juxtaposition of what they were telling me and what I was seeing. Like,
you cannot reason with this man.
Fuck, I want to shit on David Crockett, but you got Bob Caudle and JR.
I'm going to pick this guy up.
Going
and drop
into business
now.
For themselves, just talking about stories that aren't happening up on the screen. That's not your job, dum-dums.
No.
You just, you know, you see what you see, and then you maybe talk about like, oh, usually Barbarian's pretty out of control. I mean, he seems pretty preoccupied today. I wonder if he's getting nervous about this weightlifting
big bench
thing.
Press challenge.
Or even just somebody maybe clue the Barbarian in on the fact that his character's supposed to be an out-of-control wild man. Because I don't think he realizes it.
I don't think anybody told him.
I've been watching, you know, 3 years of Barbarian matches on NWA at this point we've been seeing, and there hasn't been once where he's act remotely out of control. He's stone-faced and stoic the entire fucking time.
He never really got out of control until he tagged up with Meng.
Yeah, that's because Meng will pull that shit out of you, man.
He's great.
Those guys, they were having some fun in the locker room before they went out and had those jobber squashes on Nitro. I know it. They're probably doing whippets.
Such a cool
whippets
tag team.
In the parking lot with Eric Bischoff and then coming in and just kicking dudes in the head.
Like
as
those
hard
guys
as they could.
Gotta be like what, 40 at that point?
Couldn't even tell. These Tongans, they don't age.
Yeah, they don't age, but they're clearly like, they gotta be pushing 40
thick
at that
as a
point.
Brick.
They're still both gigantic.
Handsome
just
men.
Just out there, just stiffing everybody, potatoing
Ming
them.
Started getting that fro going.
Oh,
that
fro
look.
Was great.
That was his
that
best
head
look.
Just shook everywhere. Oh, man.
Somebody needs to bring back that thumb to the neck.
You know I love the Asiatic spike.
I know.
But like, you know I love it, man.
Stick that thumb in the neck and put a guy down.
Yeah, people don't like that.
I
want to
talk a little
bit
about Lex Luger.
Well, that plays into kind of where I was going with this one. And Lexi, yeah, he's on my list too. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm saying, man, I don't know what to think about this Lex Luger. I keep getting struck when we're seeing these early 1988 Lex Luger matches when they're first trying to push him, how much potential he seems like he has.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand why they're trying to push him. He looks great. The women in the crowd, total white-ons.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Drooling white-ons. They're loving this guy. His matches seem fine. Seems like he can do quick bursts of power comebacks.
Yep.
He's going to be a fine baby face. His promos, I'm starting to think like, you know, I remember Lex's promos just being babbling and incoherent and like confusing and structureless, but like these promos have been kind of to the point and decipherable in my brain that we've seen so far. And I was thinking that while he was cutting this promo on the show.
Until.
And then the promo just kept going.
Uh-huh.
And like he cut the same promo like 4 or 5 times in a row for
there
some reason.
We are.
Because instead of giving him like 2 minutes, they gave him like one of those 2003 era Triple H like 15 minute promo blocks or something.
Oh, you're hitting all my points here, pal.
And I'm just wondering, like, could this guy have been something if they would have just like booked him to his strengths? Been like, you don't talk much, you do power stuff, you're a baby face, and is like, were these guys asking him to do too much and failing him, or was he just like thinking he could do too much and it's his fault? Didn't Lex Luger this just pure bit of like moldable clay potential we got here in 1988 ever develop past what he is here in 1988? Because this is clearly the best he's ever been in his entire career.
Let's get back to that in just a second.
Okay.
Because
whose fault is all this?
You talked about
whose
how
cause
it
in
just
all this
went on too long, and that's where I was going
to
go.
Oh yeah, you
want to
talk about
well
how long that tag match
with
was?
That tag match was the tag match. It was a squash match that went on for too long. During the match, you had commentary from who? Paul Jones.
Big ol' Paul Jones there sticking his voice in every once in a while.
So the match
as
ends.
As established over the weeks, great talker. He adds a lot to these programs.
The match ends, and what do? Cut to a promo with Paul Jones.
Oh, perfect.
Where Paul Jones talks.
Nobody's had enough of Paul Jones talking.
Over and over and over again, and says
the same
exact
points.
Things that he just said on commentary. And they continue.
And it all just amounts to.
They
is somebody knocking at my door
to do what?
Let's pause this.
Bye, Sam.
So okay. Everything's...
Yeah. Sorry about that. There was a ragamuffin that came into my door unexpectedly.
Dirty old dish rag.
Shoo him out of here with the broom.
So everything goes on way too long, and all these talking segments, they just let people do the same promo like 3 times in a row. We get it again with... No. It was that...
What was the main event
promo,
of this show?
That promo in specific.
The main event of the show was once again them talking about how there's a weightlifting competition coming up for like the 4th time on this program. It was just the announcers staring into the camera, hyping up, ooh, these guys are going to be bench pressing and we're going to see who can bench press the most.
They're going to be bench pressing.
I
got
to tell you, when we get to this pay-per-view, bold prediction... That's going to be the most boring part of the show.
Well, let's see. I don't think so. They're talking a lot about it. But back to your boy Lex. I thought the exact thing. It's like, oh, you know what? Once again, he's kind of making sense out there. He's going through the horsemen. He's telling you why he doesn't like him. He's telling you what he's going to do about it.
He's got a big feud with them going. It makes sense he'd be mad.
He's not, you know, breaking any new ground here, but he's making sense. And he's just conveying thought. And moving his feud along.
Showing some emotion.
And then, like you said, he throws to a video, and he just kind of stops talking. And then, like, maybe talks over it. And then they come back where he reiterates.
What did we do? Take, like, 3 breaks where he threw to a video of, like, him at various events fighting the horsemen?
It was 3 talking segments all together.
You're feuding with the horsemen.
Well, they had that one where he's getting beat up and somebody's dad comes out and saves him. They said he was in the horseman. I didn't recognize him.
Ole? Is that what they said? Ole Anderson. You think Ole Anderson's going to help you out? That's just another misfit we put on the bricks.
Yeah, we put on the bricks.
Ole Anderson. He's going to do nothing for you, Lex Luger.
We did get some sweet JJ throwing kicks in one of those videos, though.
Oh, you got a couple rabbit kicks going at
He looked really
Lex's
good
ribs.
Doing that. But you also kind of... mentioned something else I thought about. Are WCW to blame for WWE's never-ending talk segments?
It could be. Like, definitely those... Well, I was going to say they started probably when guys like The Rock could just talk so good that, like, they were like, hey, we could... But then Triple H, they really got bad when he was like, I could do it too, guys. I could do it too. And you know that this old 80s NWA shit is the shit he loves the most.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe, he's just watching these endless talks. He's like, Vince, I got an idea.
Yeah.
We're going to change the format of the wrestling shows. So for the next 10 years, I start off every episode.
Talking for a half hour.
Talking real slow. It'll last. For a half hour. People will love it.
As they did then.
As
they will now.
Yeah, so Lex Luger might be to blame for the last 15 years of Raw creative we've all been suffering through. That's a good point.
But the good thing is...
There's a good point to all this?
Yeah.
What could that be?
As Lex derailed, we started to get some vintage Lex. Talking about how he's an athlete. Athlete.
How many syllables? There's an R in there, I think.
And he said when he starts coming for the horseman, that don't get confused. It's not Jason from Friday the 1st or from Friday the 13th.
Neither of them.
That's a quote. I did not mispronounce that.
It's
that is
still neither of them.
That is a quote. So you got some real Lex there at the end.
The first 2 to 3 minutes, I was thinking, like, he sounds fine, great.
I'm like, he's done it again.
Once he wraps it up, I'm going to give him some... One of my points for this week is going to be giving him props.
I was all ready to do it.
And I was like, oh, no. Oh, he's still talking. Oh, thank God they're cutting to a video. Oh, no, they're coming back for him to do more talking? What's the point of all this?
And when they threw to that second video, I was like, he's gonna talk again after that. It was bad.
Somebody dropped the ball. And by dropped the ball, I mean allowed Lex Luger to be on the TV screen for too long.
Yeah.
What's next?
I don't know, man. I wanted to talk about that. Mike Rotundo looked like young Bruce Campbell.
He had a $2 haircut and looked like a real jabron.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
I like this weird, like, way fired up about stuff gimmick.
Yeah, he kind of just at this point in his career looks like that guy who played the best friend teacher from Election who gets fired for having sex with Reese Witherspoon. The one who says,
her pussy gets so wet, you can't believe it.
What's that cat's name?
Looked like him in the face. I don't know.
We'll figure it out. My guy, Arn Anderson, says that Lex Luger looks like an extra from beach blanket bingo too.
It's true. He's got this body, but you know, this is wrestling, man.
I like a good beach blanket bingo comment.
One of my deals, yeah, I think was just talking about all these strong promos that are the glue that held this show together and made it not a complete failure. Like, I was talking about Rotunda, just looked like a jobber, and I'm like, how are they even pushing him at this point? But then after his match, he cut a promo, and I was like, oh, he's already pretty good at that, just like insecure prick promo type thing here. He's really making me hate him.
And I like that.
Arn came out and cut Luger down real good. He's just real articulate and believable. And before that, you got Flair. He's out there. He's pulling out some of his teeny boppers in the training bra shit.
Oh, yeah,
I
wrote that down.
But he's also offering old Barry Windham, who's a good guy at this point, a spot in the Horsemen. He's going to be the fourth Horseman, he's telling them. They got their eye on him, and that's some historic shit here. Having Flair come out here and tell Barry Windham that he's got his eye on him, because we know where all that goes. So,
spoilers.
There's
a lot
of shit that's not going on right. the show. But
well, it seems to be
still,
like...
Still get those strong Horsemen mostly promos, but now some other guys here and there, too, that are, you know, holding the show together and making it watchable.
A lot of
guys can talk real good.
Back on the subject of the promos going too long,
I
forgot one part of it. A lot of these guys don't understand how to talk into the microphone, so a lot of these promos, you can't even make out. They got that live audience mic'd so damn loud. All you can hear is they're squealing and they're yelling and they're going into business for themselves. And then these guys...
David Crockett just too sheepish to get that mic up in their face.
They have the mic like 10 feet away from
his chest like a dum-dum.
And so it sounds like, hey
where are you going? We got to record a podcast over here.
I'm trying to wrestle and then I'm going to beat the guy.
Come back over here.
I'm going to wrestle the guy.
I couldn't hear a thing you were saying when you were back there.
Yeah, it's awful. It was terrible. I'm watching this
stuff. Oh, that was the point. I get it.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't turn this up any louder. It's hurting my ears.
Yeah, there's a baby asleep in this room.
Yeah.
That I stole from the neighbors.
Yeah, don't. Allegedly.
People hear it crying in this house. They're going to know I'm the one that stole it. Then how do I get a ransom?
That's true. That gums up the works.
Absolutely.
So don't steal a baby if you're watching old World Championship Wrestling. That's the moral of the story.
Or if you're going to steal a baby, steal a Southern baby. Those people have enough. They're not going to notice
Southern
that it's missing.
Man better.
What
do you got?
Keep your baby.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been going through like all
you
of
got
it.
You got a five?
I'm not done. Yeah, I've got done, a five. Yeah. I got a five.
I got a five.
Mostly I just was like, for my five, was thinking about how mad I was that there was a second Dick Murdoch match.
Because
I was like, if you're going to be showing all of that match from that other event where Dick Murdoch's fighting for the TV title, why do you then on the same episode show another Dick Murdoch squash match that you've taped? We've already seen Dick Murdoch on this show. But then Dick Murdoch was so much fun, I didn't even care.
Yeah.
Like him and Cornette's characters, they don't make sense being together at all.
Nope.
But they still just make it work. You got like the rich guy and the dirty hillbilly, but you know, they both just love money and they hate Dusty Rhodes and they're both really good at running their mouths.
It's kind of cool.
So I'll just watch these two guys hang out forever. Just hang out and talk shit nonstop.
I like Dick,
take over the broadcast.
Dick Murdoch calling everybody out for claiming that they're the toughest and the baddest.
No, maybe they are, but he's willing
he's like,
to do things
people.
That other people won't do.
You don't know where I've been, Lou.
That's why he's going to get that bounty out on Dusty's head, because he's despicable, quite frankly.
And then he does us all a favor.
What's that?
Threatens to brain buster Davy Crockett.
Oh, man. If they would just build up to David Crockett getting brain bustered on one of these pay-per-views, I would like retroactively go back in time and pay them money for it.
Once he says it, though, Cornette retorts.
That'd be so satisfying.
I think my mother would pay the devil if he did that to you, you
Cornette.
Goof.
Mama Cornette, she's got a lot of money.
Like, does anything hurt more than Cornette calling you a goof and
no,
then walking off on you?
And maybe telling you to, like, eat dirt or kick sand. That could be, it's up there. But
yeah, I could see him.
Straight up goof? Nah, that's a dig, brother.
Eat dirt, you goof.
That's a rough dig.
Eat dirt, you goof.
Cool. Is that going to do it for this episode?
No, I got a five.
Oh, God. Okay. Still got more to pull out.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's wrap it up.
The old man match.
There was... Okay, you want to talk about Mike Jackson?
Talking about two bears. A Russian bear and
the
a...
hop, skipping, and jumping
little,
old man.
Little flippy old man bear.
Right on.
Bald spot and a comb over and an Amish beard.
Barely even a comb over. Three or four hairs trying to spread themselves out to cover that bald spot.
No way. It's so thick where it grows and then just so bald where it isn't. You know, but they move.
He's got a lot of hair on the rest of his body.
they move so well. These two old guys, they're pulling out all the stop signs,
this
brother.
This is before Viagra, too, so.
I love this match.
Impressive. Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I was pretty fried by the time they rolled this match around.
It wasn't anything great, but it was just these two old guys giving it their all. Just fluid movement.
Mike Jackson's proto Rob Van Dam, like front somersault,
yeah.
Jumping springboard, maybe, but then he doesn't actually do anything.
This guy's like 63.
He's very close to innovating a new style of wrestling. He's just a little too sheepish to do it.
At the age of 63.
Did you bing that, or is that a roundabout guess?
No, that's I'm just watching TV and calling it like I see it.
Okay, yeah, because I'm gonna say 63 sounds pretty spot on.
Yeah, I'm gonna in the break here. I'm gonna do a little digging. We're gonna find out, but
Ivan Koloff too. He's starting to become sort of a versatile tool for them because they got him stuck with Paul Jones and the Warlord and the Barbarian. Because I think they've finally noticed, like, hey, even though Paul Jones is a manager and his whole job's to talk, he's not very good at talking.
At all.
Maybe let's get a second manager out here.
Let's get this Russian guy, this old Russian guy.
You got to get a second manager out there for your big program. Maybe just fire the first manager. What's he doing for you?
He's cool. Yeah. He's got that hat and a mustache now.
He's hooking everybody up with boxes of hair dye that fell off a truck or something, maybe.
Hat and a mustache.
He looked like...
Hat and a mustache.
What did he look like? He just, like, looked like a cross between Johnny Cash and Liberace this episode, and that's a weird two things to do, be a cross between. I gotta say, he wasn't pulling it off either.
He was not pulling it off. He looks like a mix of everybody from the movie Smokey and the Bandit.
Mm.
Like, if you took every character
Sally
and just
Field's
condensed
titties.
Them... Oh, yeah. Well, there's that, too. Her butt.
Oh, was she even in that movie?
Yeah,
I
she
was
got
just
a butt
thinking
that.
About Sally Field's titties.
She got a bootay in that.
Those 70s jeans, nothing better than showing off butts.
Hey, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, baby.
All right, that wraps it up. Let's stop talking about this world championship wrestling.
Talk about 70s women's jeans.
I feel like I need to go look at some pictures of 70s jeans. Women with long butts, high waists. That's going to get me rejuvenated, and then we're going to come back. We're going to come back, and we're going to do that three count.
Three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Well, it's a hillbilly bread for a sandwich treat, made oatmeal, cornflour, and crushed sweets, and wheat bran, and molasses, and honey. You get Granny's old-fashioned bread for your money. Shortening soya, sugar, and yeast, hillbilly makes a sandwich a feast. Nourishing, too, that's what I said. Hillbilly old-fashioned bread. I say
you know, when I started dipping Kodiak, made my friend here real happy because it's his brand. Now it's my brand, too. It's good and moist with a special cut that packs right, and it's got a big, fresh wintergreen flavor. But don't take my word for it. Just ask my friend here. He really got away with words, don't he?
Everybody three count tonight. Do, 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 do. Everybody three count tonight. Everybody.
Everyone. Yeah, I get it. I get where we're going with that
across
one.
A million miles. Beep, beep,
beep, beep. Is that a Wang Chung? Are those guys really Asian, or were they just calling themselves Wang
two
Chung?
Two white dudes,
that's
man.
That's what I thought.
You remember that video?
I don't think two white guys get away with calling themselves Wang Chung these days.
This video, it's all cut up and like just bits of them.
I'm pretty sure they watched it on Beavis and Butthead a couple times.
You know how long that video took to make?
How long did it take to make?
This was before the pro edit shot whatever wizards that they got these days.
Like they've been watching some pop-up video. Let's,
they had to shoot that all entirely
boop,
in film.
Boop, boop.
Like, boop. They essentially shot the video three or four times and then cut it all up into small little pieces and then just spliced it all together.
They were like those OK Go guys.
Yeah.
Is that the guys that do all the crazy videos?
Yeah.
But they were like the original ones. You guys, you had the benefit of the YouTubes and the viral videos, but Wang Chung back in the day, man,
they were doing it
on traditional media.
Yeah.
They were still making that shit go viral. Everybody knows that earworm.
Back when videos counted, man.
Videos.
Like that, you were talking about Genesis Land of Confusion last week.
That'll haunt your dreams. You watch that video.
The Ronald Reagan puppet one.
weird looking puppet faces on that thing.
This is the land of confusion.
Aha, they had that one with all the cartoon looking stuff.
Oh, I'm going to tell you right now.
Some real artistry going on back in the 1980s.
That video single-handedly got me into music.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I can remember being like a three-year-old kid when we had cable and that video coming on and just being... Oh,
wiggling
just
my little three-year-old butt.
Stuck to the TV watching that epic struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, I got to get this man to safety. And I was like, there's a real bond here. There's a real feeling going on, you know?
Also, sometimes they're cartoons and sometimes they're not. This is blowing my mind.
This is such a good video. That scene finally comes to life and he's just slamming wall to wall in her apartment. It's like, oh, I'm finally alive. Guess we can make out now.
That drawing, just I was watching it and it just really got me into comics, just Sunday morning comics. And from that point on, I was a real Heathcliff nut.
And tentacle porn.
Just that came hentai. A couple years later. That wasn't until like I was 7 or 8.
Oh, okay.
Back at 5 or 6, man, you get that... that Heathcliff strip every Sunday. I was just like praying for that garbage ape. That's some funny stuff.
On the subject of hentai.
Okay, yeah.
And to tie it into wrestling.
Really been trying to steer the show towards hentai for a good while, and I'm finally going to relent. I'm going to let you just say your piece on hentai, finally.
I'm going to tie it into wrestling, though.
This is going to get gross.
Yeah. What station... Like when ECW first started like popping up on a local access channel.
It was like late Friday nights.
Do you remember like what station you got it on?
It was whatever like eventually became UPN or MyTV or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what the call sign was back then.
We used to get it over in Illinois on some kind of like...
Illinois!
Some like local access 23 or something.
Yeah, it sounds like it's ringing bells.
And like they'd show it late at night and then even later than that, they'd like just show like straight up like hentai movies.
Oh, God.
And it was like,
I think I was snug in bed by the time that was happening.
I don't think you're allowed to be showing this on TV.
Full on tentacle rape, huh?
You're just showing weird stuff that didn't belong on TV.
I gotta tell you, I liked that Liquid television a lot back in the days. And that Aeon Flux, she wore some revealing clothing, but she wasn't getting penetrated.
Did you really like
Lord
that
Almighty?
Show?
No, I didn't like Aeon Flux. Nobody liked Aeon Flux.
Yeah, I had this argument before with somebody. It's like, I don't think anybody really liked it.
The worst thing on MTV. It was
so weird.
That's all I could do all day was watch MTV. It's just like a bored, dumb little shit. And then that would come on for 20 minutes and be like, well, Christ, what the hell am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Guess I'll switch to USA and hope the Duckman's on.
No, said no one ever. Ugh. Duckman. Don't get me started.
It was not the best show, but it came on after the Weird Science sitcom. So I watched it. All we had was TV back then. There wasn't a lot of media.
My little brother and I came home late from a legendary night at the old Round the Clock, right?
Oh, wow. That sounds like a big event. Tell me more.
Came home to our parents' old house, and front door is locked. They're like, man, door's never locked, even if it's this late at night, whatever.
Somebody must be masturbating in here.
No, even worse.
Oh, God.
Our oldest brother, Teddy Bizcliz. He was trying to finger blast the fast food girl from the Long John Silver's.
Oh, man.
On our parents' couch.
I bet that couch smelled like fryer oil for like 6 months after that.
So we walk in and like I realize like, oh, man.
It smells like Long John Silver's in here.
Old Teddy Omega, Teddy Bizcliz, he's going to be doing something weird to some girl. And seriously, though, she ended up being the drive-through girl from Long John Silver's.
God bless her. Making her way.
So we did like the stalled entrance, like, let's not have to see something we don't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And he, they scramble together and he hits the cable and he tries to cover it all up with, this duck man is funny. And I...
No, it isn't.
I just looked at him and said, no, it's not. We know what you were doing. And left. So I think about that every time I think about Duckman.
Next time I'm talking to a girl, I'm going to ask her if she wants to go back to my place and watch some Duckman.
So do I think about
that works?
So do I think about Long John Silver's every time I think about Duckman, or do I think about Duckman every time I think about Long John Silver's?
I just think about your brother, knuckle deep, and some frumpy piece of white girl.
Fast food fucking.
We got a 3 count coming up.
About fast food?
A little bit. There's a lot of fast food down in the South. A lot of... fried joints, a lot of sweet teas.
A lot of Hardee's.
Sitting out on the sidewalk, getting baked into that crystal, sickly, sweet consistency that they seem to love it down there. And we're talking Southern wrestling in the first half of the program, so I thought, fuck. Why don't we just bring this all around full circle? Talk about who the most Southern wrestlers of all time. That's not real wrestling. That's R-A-S-S-L-I-N.
Yep.
R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
Who fit into this weird world of just dirt stashes and Mustangs, IROC Zs rusted out, but they still looked cool.
Hell yeah.
Jean jackets, mullets, everything else that was going on back there in the South in the 1980s. Bunch of stonewashed jeans, I bet.
Ooh.
You got different genres of wrestlers. You got your Mexican wrestlers with their elaborate masks. You got your Land of the Giants up in the WWF.
These
big old guys. And then you got your Southern wrestlers. They're all just kind of a little bit dirty, a little bit real, a little bit too believable.
Mm-hmm.
Carnies is what they are. They're real carnies.
Yeah.
So I want to know. Let's get into your number three. Who's the Southest of all the South guys?
I'm proud of my list because I feel you can go for that real dirt, evil Dick Murdoch like we talked about earlier in the show.
Okay, my list is an honorary Dick Murdoch list because he's really, when I was watching this match, that's where this topic sprung to mind.
I didn't put him on there because that's who you have in mind.
Honorary Dick Murdoch list.
But I realized that's not all the Southern wrestling.
Oh, no.
There's nuances to Southern wrestling.
There's a lot of layers to this dirty onion.
Now, the first one I'm going with, he is indeed that Southern wrestling.
All right.
He is a man that holds several distinctions.
Like PhDs?
He broke Bruno Sammartino's neck with a lariat.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Which was later revealed it was on the Power Slam. But the lariat sounds cool.
That does sound cooler.
He poked out Big Van Vader's eye.
Impressive.
And he refused to give the AWA their championship belt back.
Why
instead,
would you?
Drove over it with his pickup truck and then mailed it back to them broken and muddy with a tire track on it.
That means go fuck yourselves, Yanks.
I'm talking Big Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen. He's a big old walrus of a human being.
Yep.
I'm putting him on my list, too. We're going to share this Stan Hansen.
Yeah.
We're thinking the same copacetic as far as this goes. This guy
stiffened the fuck out of people.
Carried around a bull rope.
Yep.
Had that big dumb mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Always had tobacco juice dribbling out of his fucking mouth onto his chin.
Subtle touch. He lived it, man.
Always
he was that
his
gimmick.
Big fat wife. Like,
hell yeah.
Always talking about his big
My
fat
wife, she's a sturdy gal.
And then basically just like spent two decades throwing chairs and chasing tiny Japanese people who would scatter like ants like he's a fucking American Godzilla.
That's genius.
That's great. Like, this guy is every fear of what they're afraid Americans are just come to life in one big, doughy, white nightmare.
If you go down, if you like Bingham on the Wikipedias and you get his whole rundown, his career.
Bingipedia.
Like, he was stateside in the beginning of the 80s. Like, yeah, whatever, I'll give this wrestling thing a try. And he's doing it, and he's doing it, and he's this, and he's that. By the time he goes to Japan, like you said, it's the perfect time. It's the late 80s, and you're getting all these cowboys now, and everybody's a fucking outlaw. And he's like, these guys aren't real. This has gotten to be too much.
Getting lost in a sea of fake cowboys over here.
I'm going to be the cowboy and beat the fuck out of people. And he did that.
And it worked out well for him because the Japanese are too polite to tell him that he's not allowed to do whatever he wants to do.
So he just did that,
getting these squabbles with all these, you know, U.S. promoters. Like, you got to give us our belt back if you're not going to wrestle for us anymore. Quit knocking people's eyeballs out.
Yeah.
Boring.
I like that. The AWA wanted him to drop that title to Nick Bockwinkel, and he called up Giant Baba.
Yeah. He's like,
should I do that?
I'm not dropping a belt to that haircut. Give me a break.
Baba's like, no.
I'm legit.
Yeah. He's a hairbagger.
As I understand it, too, he was a pretty intelligent man in his personal life. Just, like, educated, like, could speak on a wide array of, you know, intellectual topics. And he never let you know that. Not for a second.
Yeah.
You're just watching his shit on TV. You think that he is ignorant and uneducated.
Spitting and beating people up, man.
Talking about, like, not being able to speak into the microphone. This guy couldn't even see where the microphone was.
Yeah.
So he was just always yelling. And then it was the poor interviewer's job to try and get it as close to his mouth as he could while his limbs and shit are flailing around in every direction.
And tobacco's flying everywhere.
He's the ultimate out-of-control hillbilly southern man, which is why he had that star turn in No Holds Barred that everybody remembers so dearly. If you want to, like, get over that you're in a rowdy biker bar that's out of control that Dalton needs to come up and clean up because it's just gotten out of hand,
Put Stan Hansen in there. Yeah.
I bet a bunch of crew members legitimately got injured.
Oh, how many of them do you think he beat up?
How many teeny wieners do you think he beat up? There was a couple key grips that lost some teeth, I'll tell you that much.
Doggie. That's for damn sure.
Guarantee.
That's a great pick.
Mm-hmm.
We did a good job
there.
We
did great there.
Mm.
Let's see. Let's just go down the line. We'll get just three in a row, maybe.
Now, I'm getting... It's a different kind of southerner.
Okay, yeah.
He
mix it up.
He very similar career arc, but he's not just he's not the lone cowboy. He had a family, a ranch.
Wow.
A ranch, if you will.
Wow.
In Tejas.
We're 2 for 2.
Amarillo.
2 for 2, Tejas, buddy. These lists are,
if you're familiar. Yeah.
Double Cross Ranch we're talking about.
I think you know the guy.
If you're from a famously named ranch, turns out you are a great southern wrestler.
Now, I don't know which one you're going with.
We're not talking about my dad, Dory, or my brother, Dory.
No. We're talking about the Funker.
Terry Funk.
Terry Funk, ladies and gentlemen.
I got him on that list, too, man.
Hell yeah.
He's too good to pass up.
He's the guy, man.
If
he
you're
did
doing
it all.
A classic southern, like, isolate a body part and work it match, he could fucking do it. If you're doing one of these bunkhouse stampede wild brawls,
too.
He could do it. He's going to be doing all sorts of crazy hollering, just like your grandfather when he gets into the moonshine. That's what Terry Funk sounds like every time he's wrestling a match.
Now, I struggled myself because I wanted to put, younger brother, the Bunk?
Jimmy Jack Funk. The fake Funk.
I really liked his hollering and his matches.
I mean,
but,
if he would have had a broader career as Jimmy Jack Funk in the 80s, I could definitely see him making the list.
But Terry was the total package, man. Like you said, he could actually wrestle. He could holler with the best of them. He could hold his own when the microphone was in front of him. He invented a move called putting a ladder around your head and then spinning around. A lot.
I mean, just think about the strategies of that. It makes sense. It's almost, you think, like, why did it take so long for somebody to figure that out?
And you want to know my favorite part of his entire career?
Let me know about it.
Eventually, he gets old, so old, and he gets Undertaker legs before Undertaker legs knew what Undertaker legs were.
Wobbly cowboy bow legs. It's perfect for a southern man.
But, unlike Undertaker, who was like, maybe I should hang it up, Terry Funk is like, keep going for 5 to 10 years.
Start doing moonsaults now.
Yeah. So he keeps wrestling.
I'll fix my legs.
And what does he come out to?
I don't know.
The Eagles.
That's right.
Desperado.
Oh, I do remember that. This is ECW days. Where, back when you can throw some licensed music on television and nobody was paying attention because it was the Wild West of the 90s.
I tell you what, I'm not even going to sing it. Let's just take a second here. Bring it in.
Oh, that's nice, I imagine. Once we layer that song in, I bet it sounds real nice right here.
Seems to me some fine things.
Oh, I'm starting to get emotional.
Lay it upon your table.
Oh, wow. Whew. Fucking always had a flaming branding iron that he would brand people's skin with.
He did, like, every bit of it.
That's very Southern.
Japanese deathmatch, brand you, swing a ladder, Southern gentleman. Like,
my
it's all there.
My brother Dory.
Which A woman?
Family.
Bet he,
it's a big thing,
bet he's
man.
A God-fearing man, too.
A doy.
And there's that time when he was supposed to be the impartial judge for Ric Flair's championship match with Ricky Steamboat, but instead of that, he just pile-drove Ric Flair through the judge's table afterwards.
Yeah.
And then tried to strangle him with a plastic bag.
Yeah.
That's Southern grudge right there, man. Yeah. People from the North don't put plastic bags on each other's heads and try to suffocate them to death.
Yeah, that's a solid.
I'm not
going to
start drinking
right
sweet tea because that's disgusting, but I'm starting to want to move to the South just all this talk that we're doing.
Not against whiskey.
I'm not against whiskey, that's for damn sure. So. And I am not against modding out some sort of fucking shitty rusted out muscle car and driving it around with just my tape deck blaring.
Ooh, yeah.
Probably going to take that T-top off, even if it's winter. Because it's the South.
You like mint juleps?
I could drink a mint julep. Maybe if like I was going to my fancy relative's house or something.
You could do a highball down there all day. They don't
probably
mind that.
Just under some sort of willowy shade, I imagine.
I feel like, maybe we need to move this show to the South.
I get sweaty, though.
WCW, a podcast.
I'm going to have to straight up black dude have a towel wrapped around my head all the time if I do that.
Gonna
be draping
fine.
Towels on myself.
You wear a taker shirt, it's allowed.
Perfect. I'm in. Settled. I'm selling my house. Okay, shared number two. Can we go all the way to this first pick?
I don't know.
I'm at the edge of my seat
now. We've got you everything. We got the rough and tumble cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
We got the member of a ranch, you know. Family's there.
Distinguished rough and tumble cowboy.
Yeah. But now I'm going to take you all the way to the high end of Southern living.
Genteel.
Yeah, the Ric Flair of the cowboys, if you will.
Like a bolo tie wearing classy man.
Even fancier than that.
Okay.
Talking about a man who holds the distinction being the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
I'm talking the honky tonk man.
I'm talking about the honky tonk man. That's right.
Home to your town.
Yeah, that's
Wayne
right, baby. Wayne Ferris.
Straight out of Memphis.
Memphis,
I
Tennessee.
Yeah, he's from Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, he's born somewhere else in Tennessee.
We're gonna
call
him. We're gonna let him do his work in town.
Yeah, Memphis, Tennessee. I love him. He's I love Elvis.
Yeah.
And he's just doing an Elvis wrestling gimmick.
He absolutely is. Which is weird, because people generally love Elvis. So his idea of, like, what are people going to hate? I'll do Elvis. And he's like, no, that shouldn't really work. But then it did, because he's just such a smug jerk that you can't help but hate him.
You would figure like it would be one of those things where, like, the Canadian wrestlers are still over in Canada, even though they're heel in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he's in the South, they're still going to cheer for him because he's Elvis.
Get anywhere near Memphis, people are going to be loving Honky Tonk Man.
Nope. He did it. He pulled that gimmick off,
partnership
man.
He had with Jimmy Hart, too. It's
Jimmy Hart. Yeah. He was the colonel.
He managed a lot of guys back in that WWF. I'd really like to see more of his Memphis shit, because I'm sure when he was just managing guys against Jerry Lawler, it was probably some of the best shit ever, and I've seen none of it. But I've seen him manage a good 20 dudes probably, and still when I think back to Jimmy Hart managing people, I think about him and Honky together.
Think about the Honky,
Honky! Stay on him, Honky!
Stay on him, Honky!
Stay on him,
That's
Honky!
That's right, Danny, stay on him! Yeah, it was good stuff, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, those jumpsuits were always on point. Hitting people with a guitar, taking the easy way out because he didn't want to lose the title.
Always taking powders, always being cowardly.
He was supposed to be
Southern heel needs to be.
He was supposed to be a transitional champion, but luckily Jake the Snake Roberts had that drug problem.
Oh, thank God for that.
So he didn't give the title up, and luckily he was friends with HH himself.
Oh yeah.
And Hogan, because Vince was going to take this, he was going to take the strap off of him,
brother.
Yeah. And Hogan was like, nah, this guy can work, Vince.
Vince, trust me.
This guy can work.
Trust me, brother. This guy's just as racist as me. You're going to love him. Vince was like, goddamn, pal, tell me more.
That's right. That's all Vince cared about. All right,
we diverged in the woods there a little bit then.
Well, you got to have a little bit
We got a little bit of diversion. Yeah. I got a different pick, different direction than Honky. Different style of Southerner. Cause, you know, you got those guys up from Tennessee, maybe. They think they're a little bit fancier. You get those guys out from Texas, those rough and tumble cowboys. You're forgetting about Florida trash, man.
Ooh, I love Florida trash.
You're going to get some Southern shit going on. Yeah, you got some good Florida trash. And you got to get a carny on your list, man. A real carny.
Kazarny?
No, I'm not talking about Kazarian.
You know I love him.
Talking about Doot Michael P.S. Hayes.
Ooh, I struggled with putting him on the list.
As I understand it, this motherfucker, born and bred in Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah.
Nope.
No?
Dude was born in Philadelphia. Spent like the first 10 years of his life in fucking Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
Spent the rest of his life.
Philadelphia freedom.
Claiming he's from Florida. Draping himself in the Confederate flag.
Well, first of all.
Coming out to Freebird. Like, talking in that crazy voice.
Okay, what's in the truck?
Is this where the horror movie folk be?
What?
I got a truckload of snakes for them horror movie folk.
Well, I better take a look.
Careful now. They be poison. Poison snakes. 1 minute, you're a big, strapping, healthy man. And the next, snap, you're dead meat. Deep set.
I better check it out.
Careful now. They'll knot up on you. Them poison snakes will do that. You gotta be more riled up. Then they get knotted up on you like that, you get real crazy. Especially on a day like today when it's real hot. You want one for you, boy? I gave one to my boy last year.
No, that's all right. Just take the truck on over to stage 5.
Back her up for me. Let me have myself in there. That's all these movie people want. Poison.
I'm from Philadelphia. Can't you tell by my accent? No, this guy's working everybody every second of the day, coming out in sparkly Confederate flag capes. Doot. I'm gonna really tap into this southern market.
Who like voluntarily is like, nah, I'm from Florida, son?
Straight up trash, man. He could just, when he's a little boy, he could feel that southern trash calling to him. And he was like, I gotta get down there, man. I gotta listen to some Jimmy Buffett. I gotta be hanging out on the panhandle.
Living on Spoon's Creek.
I gotta be done some sort of boardwalk doing three-card money to tourists and having my friend pickpocket them while I'm distracting
the
from their attention.
Find the lucky lady, doot.
Because I'm sure that's what he was doing before he got into wrestling. Follow the card. Check me out, I can moonwalk.
Kinda.
Michael P.S. Hayes, gaudy outfits, crazy deep-fried southern voice. Whole life built on a lie. This guy's maybe the most Florida man who ever existed.
Except for maybe Don West.
Don West is up there. Hulk Hogan's up there.
Yeah.
If we were going to make a Mount Rushmore of Florida, probably like 3 of the 4 would be pro wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
And you got Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
Don West, Hulk Hogan, Michael P.S. Hayes, and Jimmy Buffett. There you go, Florida. That's you in a nutshell.
Michael P.S. Hayes. Just his willingness to just drape himself in those stars and bars, the Confederate flag, and then his willingness to steal from black culture.
Oh, shamelessly stealing from black culture.
It's like, which is it, pal?
It's both at the same
time. Pick a
lane. And that's what makes Florida culture so unique to everything else in the rest of the world. A, I'm going to tell you, number one, I'm a racist. I hate black people.
But
B, number two, I'm going to tell you,
I'm one of the blackest people you know.
Honorary black man over here. I've had so many black people tell me I'm blacker than they are, quite frankly.
Yeah, I thought about putting him on the list.
And then he had one of the greatest songs of all time, Bad Street GA.
Well, duh.
I mean, can't talk enough about that.
I'm gonna tell y'all a story about a place you don't want to be. This ain't no home sweet home. It's a home sweet misery. They knew when we got here, they tried to put us away. But when they seen us walk down the street, they ran the other way. Bad Street, Atlanta, GA. Bad Street in the whole USA. Bad Street, nasty and hot. Food down the back, you had the battle it got.
Cut his his own album. He's sprawled out just like a fucking bearskin rug, naked except for the Confederate flag draped over his junk. Like
over his peeper.
That guy's shameless,
over
man.
Over his peen.
He's every carny you ever met just
gotta,
stationed together into one
cover that
Ultimo
peen.
Carny.
He is like a just a very specific brand of Southern.
Man, the South is gross. I forgot about our dream that we came up with to move to Tampa and get jobs working at Busch Gardens.
Oh, yeah.
We got to start working at that.
It's not too late.
There's got to be so many like late teen, like sunburned honeys walking around Busch Gardens
right now. I got fucking housed there, bro.
I bet we could be stealing so much Busch Gardens drink on our lunch breaks. Just
we spent the day
sipping vodka out of a soda glass.
They had like a ride called like Jaguar Hunt or something.
I can ride that drunk.
We just spent the day stopping people and saying, "Do you know where Cougar Hunt is?"
Uh-huh.
And so many people were just confused.
Yeah, Cougar
like
Hunt
tried
all day
to correct us.
There.
Yeah. We like to stop, you know, cougar aged women in specific.
Oh,
and ask
cute
them.
Kids you got there.
You know
no
where
dad?
Cougar Hunt is?
There's no dad
cougar
around?
There was one.
Where's their dad at?
There was one in specific with her two teenage girls and no father.
I don't know which way to go. The underage girls or the beat up mom. I like both.
Well,
I like
and
both.
Then we started doing push ups to impress everyone and yeah. It got
then we were asked to leave.
Yeah, so it was brought to my attention that things were starting to become inappropriate.
All right, we're gonna have to be more low key once we're actually working there.
Yeah.
I'll do anything. You hear me? Busch Gardens people, I'm willing to start at the bottom
it's
and work
a cool
my way
place.
Up.
They got full bars down there. You could 10 bar
I'm
down there.
I'm going to 10 bar, but you know, I expect to walk in there in that cushy position.
They got a great beer selection. Can I get just a quick shout out to anybody if we got people vacationing down there?
Hopefully. You walking around the park right now?
It's hard.
Little earbuds in?
It's hard to get a good drink on at the Disney parks. Epcot's your best choice.
Well, they got that around the world and like
right.
200 beers thing
but,
or whatever.
But
right?
Your kids aren't going to want to go there. Well, they got the Frozen.
I don't have any kids. I'm just going there to get drunk. This doesn't sound like a problem to me at all.
I'm just talking to the families out there, the family man out there. You got the Frozen.
Saps.
You got the Frozen ride at Epcot now, so it does bring in a little bit of a younger audience.
Right.
But it's still hard to get young kids to want to go to Epcot. I understand.
Or
want to
get drunk. You try to give them like a beer and they're like,
yeah, no.
This
yeah.
tastes gross.
You go to
Uncle
Magic.
Nate? And I'm like, yeah. Take another sip.
Take another sip.
You like the way it makes you feel.
Yeah. You go to Magic Kingdom, they don't have booze at all.
That's pathetic. I would not go there then.
Go to Busch Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that cheap.
I gotta tell you another thing. Disney World, that shit's landlocked, man.
Oh,
I need
it's
to be
so
out
expensive.
There with that ocean breeze in my
yeah.
hair. I'm talking Tampa, best town in the world.
Yeah, you go to Busch Gardens and it's cheaper. Not by much.
Get
but
me up by that panhandle.
You're
that's
saving
where
a little
I want to live.
And they got so much booze everywhere there, man. They got all sorts of beers. They got craft beers. They got your staple
kids
beers.
Are walking
they got your
around
Busch
with coolers
brand
on
beers.
Wheels.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. There's
you can
no
get
loss.
Hard alcohol there. Their food's ridiculous. They got just shit stuffed in shit and deep fried and kill yourself on it.
Man, I want
yeah.
deep fried mint julep right
you
now.
You want to go hard. You really got to go through the ghetto, though, to get to that place. I don't know if you've ever been.
Well, that's where we're going to be living
yeah.
when we're working there.
You go through some bad streets.
We're going to meet some like fucking yeah. grade A quality street people of Tampa, I'm sure. And we're going to share a bottle of hooch when we get off work at the end of the night. I don't know,
that's
maybe do
nice.
Some acapella
that's
around,
be nice.
Not the trash fire, because it's warm down there, so they probably don't have trash fires. I don't know what they do, maybe.
But we got to get up
just
early.
Just like a pile of coconuts
we
got to
get up early the next day, because we're double dipping.
Oh, I'm going to be so hungover.
We got that second job,
do
working
we?
At that Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular.
I'm missing all my audio cues. I'm working the soundboard tomorrow.
Yeah.
I came in too hungover.
That's right. Dun, 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 dun. No, that's Superman, I think. Indiana Jones
it was
enough. It's all the same. It's all John Williams. None of this shit matters. You hear me?
No.
Join us next week when we have Davy Crockett on the show.
Now you're doing an interview?
I don't know. Is he still alive?
He's got to be dead.
Yeah, we could
if
find him.
If he wasn't dead,
if he's
I would have killed
him
by now.
Find him.
No, next week we're doing primetime wrestling from Tuesday.
Oh, that sounds better.
Tuesday the 12th, 1988, because I'm pretty sure we got that dog show going on Monday the 11th.
Ooh.
So maybe we'll dip into the dog show, talk about it a little bit. After that, week after that, 2 weeks,
yeah,
we're doing it. It's happening. I'm committed. Baby Oil and Blow at the movies. We'll be reviewing No Holds Barred.
Oh, snip.
We'll be reviewing No Holds
Barred.
Snap,
are we doing it?
Yeah. So get ready.
We got to talk about how we're doing it.
Pop some popcorn.
I don't think it can be like how we do the regular show where you watch shit at your place, I watch it at my place.
Maybe we'll make it an event.
That's going to be huge.
All right. We've got 2 weeks to plan it.
Oh, baby. Tell your friends. Baby Oil and Blow.